I don't know if you ever listen to Gardener's Question Time, but they certainly know their stuff, don't they? And I'm a bit of a cricket fan, some of you may know, and I listen to Test Match Special pretty much all through the summer. And they're all professionals, they're experts. They've played the game and they teach me so much that I can appreciate the game so much more. We go to experts to learn things. And where better place to go to learn how to pray than to go to the expert, Jesus? That's what the disciples are doing here. They've watched Jesus pray over the months that they've been together and the year that they've been together. They're sometimes frustrated because they can't find him, because he's disappeared off a mountainside somewhere to a quiet place. But they sense something new is happening. And although they won't fully understand it until after the resurrection, what has been going on, they want to know how to pray. They'd seen John the Baptist teach his disciples how to pray. So now they want Jesus' expert advice on how to pray. And here we are in chapter 11 at verse 2. Jesus says, when you pray. There's an assumption that you will pray. Not if you fancy it, if you're having a good day. When you pray. And familiarity can breed contempt, can't it? We can say the Lord's Prayer by rote, and it is a community prayer that we all do say together. But it's a model for prayer that helps us with our attitude to prayer and with how to go about praying. So if we think about it, it starts with Father, Abba, Father. There's a real intimacy and a personal relationship. We're going to our Father who loves us and cares for us. Hallowed be your name. We honour you. We honour you. And if we struggle with that, you flip to Psalm 138. If you're having a bad day, you can say Psalm 138. I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. Though the Lord is high on high, he looks upon the lowly. When I called, you answered me. You can read the Psalms to help you to honour God, to remind yourself who this God is that you're praying to. And when you pray, you aren't speaking to yourself. It isn't wishful thinking. It isn't meditation. It's praying, engaging with God. Our attitude to prayer, when we are thinking of hallowed be your name, is one of looking to the greatness of God, setting our minds on things above, as Paul talks about in Colossians. So hallowed be your name, God. It's amazing. Look at the wonder of God. And then Jesus tells us to ask for God's kingdom to come. To come now on earth and to come then when Jesus returns. It's a prayer for people on a kingdom journey, people like us on a kingdom journey following Jesus. This promised kingdom where bread, there will be bread for the hungry, there will be forgiveness for sinners, there will be deliverance from the power of darkness. We are asking for God's kingdom to come. And for God's will to be done. Inwardly in our hearts and outwardly on earth. Give us each day our daily bread. I love that. Daily bread. Dependence every single day on God. Jesus says, I'm the bread of life, doesn't he? And we're sharing communion later, where bread signifies the fact that Christ is with us. It's a sign of Jesus' presence within the church. And taking communion together is a great sign of our bond. Give us each day our daily bread. That's at work, that's at home, wherever you are. I run my own business. I'm a business coach, have done for 15 years, and I have an amazing prayer team, many of whom are retired. And there are a dozen of them, and every month I send them prayer points for my work, and I ask them for Christ to lead the way in my business, to be ready and waiting with my coaching clients and with the people I'm working with, so that the work that I do can glorify God. And that prayer team is the engine room for my business. So if you are at work or if you are in business, remember those around you who can help you to pray that God's name will be glorified in your workplace. There are resonances too with bread, aren't there, with manna from heaven. In the Exodus, when they were all moaning and groaning that they didn't have enough, God sent manna from heaven. They had too much of the stuff, but they only had enough for each day, and then they had enough for the Sabbath, so they didn't have to pick any more. They had enough for each and every day. And that is what we're saying here. God, give us each day our daily bread. And there's an expectation that we will be a people of forgiveness. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. It's not a trade. It's not, oh, I'm going to forgive you, so God will forgive me. It's not a trade. God's grace, God's gracious forgiveness is our response, is to forgive others. And of course, there's an anticipation of hard times. So when those hard times hit, lead us not into temptation. This is the prayer that Jesus gave his disciples to say, when you pray, this is how to pray. What is missing, I hear you ask. What is missing? The shopping list. There is no shopping list here. I want this, I want that, I want the other. Oh, don't forget, such and such, it is not a shopping list. Of course we come to God with what we need and what we want. And of course he's ready to hear us. But there is no shopping list shown here. And as I was preparing this, I was thinking, who are my prayer models? Who I look to? Because I can't see Jesus here next to me, but I can see God's people. And I look to certain friends of mine who are Christians, who I know are faithful prayers, and I learn from them. So I might think of Tom, who's the vicar at my church. He is a man of prayer. Marion, who's the curate with me, she is a woman of prayer. I aspire to their prayer lives. We can all improve our prayer lives and time that we spend with God. But what I love about when they pray, they glorify God first. They do it in the right order. And it keeps me on my toes and helps me to improve my prayer life, so that my attitude is fixed on him above. There have been more books written on prayer, I think, than anything else. If you Google it, they're everywhere. It's obviously not that easy, but this is a simple little model that Jesus gives us, and it's why we need to be taught it and have an attitude of prayer. And then after he's given this model, I love it. Jesus puts in these three funny little parables to explain the importance of prayer and God's part in it and God's attitude too. When we are praying, we are talking to God. Now, there's a lovely quote here from Philip Yancey's book called Prayer. I don't know if you've ever read it, but it's a really good one. This is what he says. If prayer stands as the place where God and human beings meet, then I must learn about prayer. He's very honest here. Most of my struggles in the Christian life circle around the same two themes. Why God doesn't act the way we want God to? And why don't I act the way God wants me to act? Prayer is the precise point where these two themes converge. I'm as guilty as the next of forgetting that God is not my servant. That is why the shopping list is a dangerous little activity. He brings these little parables to show the importance. And we've got this fantastic picture of a whole family asleep in one room and the neighbour, no food, banging on the door and will not go. Anyone who's got a child who's hungry will know that they've, or a grandchild, they've had their clothes tugged at. They will not go. There is a persistence. I will keep asking. I will not give up. And God is pleased with our persistence. Wake up the whole household. Give what the man needs. That's what he's asking. God's happy with us being persistent. I often feel as if I'm nagging God, but that's when I have to move from the shopping list to the attitude of prayer and looking at God as God. And then he says, ask and you will receive. This is Jesus saying, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. God loves to provide for our spiritual needs. It's not the only picture of the door that we see in the Bible. I love these metaphors he uses. You know the Holman Hunt picture with a picture of a bloke, Jesus, standing outside the door and there's no handle on the door and it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And that's for us to open the door to God to come into our lives. He's saying, ask and the door will be opened for you. God wants to answer our prayers at the right time. And then the one that's really creepy, that there's always a bit in the Bible that I read and I think, what is this doing here? It freaks me out because I don't like snakes. And I'm not particularly keen on scorpions either. The fish and the snake suddenly dawned on me. Someone like William Barclay said something like, they look quite similar, they're both slippery. A fish and a snake. Why would you give someone a snake when they want a fish? Something that's edible and something that's poisonous. An egg and a scorpion, something that's edible, one's harmless and one stings. It's this exaggeration to make the point. It shows the vast chasm between God and me and how the goodness of God. I'm at the poisonous snake end and the scorpion end, and God is the fish and the egg end. Something good. And he's saying, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? God will give us the good gift of the Holy Spirit when we ask. And of course, later Jesus says that to his disciples. He says, but the counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Pray for the Holy Spirit to come and live within you. The Holy Spirit to comfort and guide us in the whole of our lives. How amazing is that? Well, what about our prayer lives? Tom Wright talks about the discipline of prayer. Not on a whim or a rote or feeling that you've got to. An attitude of prayer. Attitude of setting your heart and mind on things above. An attitude of prayer, looking up to a wonderful Creator God who wants us to call him Abba, Father. And if you don't like that Father thing, remind yourself, God isn't a human Father who falls so short of anything that God is. The snake and the fish, there's such a difference. God is not a human Father. He wants us to come to him as his children. And when we do that, Wright says that we can become real intercessors, someone through whom God's love pours out into the world. How amazing would that be? So I give you the Lord's Prayer. As a model, for Jesus' model, the expert telling us how to pray, I encourage you to use this in a different way. If you're new to prayer, find someone who's been doing it for years. Chime in with them. If you have prayer meetings here, tip up, see what happens. You don't have to say anything if you don't want to. You can be silent. but engage with God. Meet with God through your prayer life and ask for the Holy Spirit to live within you. Amen.